instant gratification. There's nothing more satisfying. And because the award-winning Jaguar XE is now available as an approved used Jaguar with a 2-year warranty, 10.9% APR representative finance, and £1,500 deposit contribution with Jaguar Privilege PCP, there's no need to wait. To find your newly approved XE, visit jaguar.co.uk.
Offer ends 30th of September 2016. Credit subject to status. Terms and conditions apply. Black Horse Trading as Jaguar Financial Services.
A word.
Log Talk Radio.
Well, Clint Eastwood went full potty mouth tonight in defense of Donald Trump. At least he did in the Esquire interview. Esquire. I can't get through 15 seconds starting my show and I'm screwing up Esquire. What the hell is that? Esquire, a magazine named after a family of lawyers all across America. In any event, they interviewed Clint Eastwood in Esquire, and wow, what this guy had to say. Now, he used a lot of words that I typically don't use. I don't use a lot of swear words because I just don't like talking like that. That's all. But he did, and we'll be talking about that tonight, which means you're going to hear me say the P word, the F word, and a few others that are like, you know, but that's what he said. And it ties in to the bigger issue here of Donald Trump and what's happening in this country. And I think a lot of people will actually agree with him, even though he said it in kind of a rough, you know, X-rated sort of way. So I have all of that for you. Also, great interview tonight. If you've been watching the news reports about the mosquitoes, the Zika virus mosquitoes, and they came up from Brazil and now they're destroying America and they're in Florida and all this kind of stuff, I thought to myself, you know, what if I just get someone like some science lab guy who could actually talk to me about the Zika mosquito virus thingy to see if it's as deadly and as horrible as the media would have us believe. Well, I get this guy who is the head of a major lab that does all these studies on urine and blood and all that icky stuff and all that. But he knows all about this stuff. So I interviewed him today, and he'll tell you the truth without all the media hype, all that crap regarding the Zika virus. So a great interview for you tonight. I'm here at in the lifepedigree.com studio at the intersection of freedom and fun. Trademark, service, mark, copyright, patent pending. Don't steal it. And I'm glad you joined us. We do our simul stream every weeknight, 9 p.m. Eastern time on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live. I want to welcome all my Facebook friends who are joining us, Eric and Brian and Rich and Keith and Janine. And, so this is all, you know, great stuff. Also tonight, the Obama administration, everything is rigged. Honest to God, everything is rigged. The Obama administration, now we find out. Did you see this? Did you see the video of this? This is unbelievable. You know, when the Obama administration, you know, their great diplomacy with John Kerry, Mr. Windsurfer, you know, all that, when they got some of those hostages out of Iran, well, turns out that they paid Iran a ransom, like $400 million. But what was really, that's not even the worst of it. I mean, that's pretty bad. But the worst of it is this. The Wall Street Journal broke this story and got the video. What this administration did, and by the way, the Republicans aren't any better because in different ways they did that whole Iran-Contra thing. They're all just, every one of them is just awful. They're just, one is more awful than the other. Today's awfulness is the Obama administration and John Kerry and, of course, Barack Obama, who, oh, the media loves him. He can't do anything wrong. He just paid $400 million for hostages, American hostages, and tried to lie about it. Anyway, what the video shows, a Wall Street Journal video, there's this plane, unmarked plane, in the middle of the night on the tarmac somewhere, I don't know, in somewhere. And you see the video, and they've got all the money, cash, $400 million cash in like Swiss francs and other, you know, currencies, and they're loading it up or taking it off to give it to the Iranians so we get our hostages back. And it's like the worst, and even that's not the worst part. The worst part of it was the spokesman for the State Department, a guy who I think was an admiral or something, and he's going, oh, well, it's not, it, you know, we can see how it looks that like it might be ransom, because there, you know, but this was the different department did whatever. It just so happened that it happened at right exactly the same time that the hostages were released, but it was just one of those, you know, merry mix-ups. Everything is rigged. They're lying to us. They just keep lying to us. They think we're so effing stupid that we're just going to believe this stuff. And it's like, God, I hate all of them. Anyway. After the show, at the end of the show, for my Facebook Live friends, we're going to do that, or try to do that emoji fireworks grand finale thing. Because at the end of the show, we're starting a tradition, where at the end of the show, all my Facebook friends, sometimes there are lots, sometimes they're not, but whatever. We have like an emoji fireworks display thing on the Facebook Live thing, where they just start sending me all these different types of emojis all together, and they all run together at the bottom of the screen. It looks like a little fireworks, a little Zambelli emoji fireworks thing. So we're going to try that again tonight if anybody's sticking around by then. I'm not going to talk too long tonight. I'm in a crappy mood, worse than normal crappy mood. But it's an interesting show tonight. It's a lot of really, you know, good stuff. So where do we begin? Okay, we'll do the Clint Eastwood thing in a bit, because, again, I actually don't feel comfortable, you know, doing potty mouth stuff. I just don't talk like that much. No. Well, anyway. One of the things that I noticed today regarding the Republican Party, like the big news thing of the day, like every day, all the news is what Donald Trump did wrong. Now, again, I'm a libertarian. I always have to say this because people think that I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm not. I agree with some things. I disagree with other things, like with my wife. We agree on some things in life. We disagree on other things. And so some of the time I'm right and some of the time she's wrong. And that's just the way it is. And that's fine. But as a libertarian, I'm going to vote for my libertarian candidates because that's who I am. That's what I believe. And, you know, okay, you know, Gary Johnson and Bill Weld aren't exactly the best libertarians ever. I mean, if we're going to be honest about it, but they're the best we got. And so that's what it's going to be. And we build on that. And, you know, someday we'll have, you know, really great libertarians. But right now, these are the best we've got. And they're doing very well because everybody hates Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump so much that they're looking around going, what goofy guy from New Mexico? He may not be too bad. He's a libertarian. Let's try him. So what the hell? All right. Okay. So the big news today with all the news channels, the cable news channels, is that the Republican establishment is really concerned about Donald Trump, that he's really going off message and he shouldn't be going after this Gold Star family because they lost their son, who was a hero. I mean, he died in Iraq. Even though the Gold Star family is essentially this Pakistani lawyer who came over here and who makes a lot of money selling citizenships legally. He's a big supporter of the Clintons and all this kind of stuff. And he's believes in Sharia law. Don't take my word for it. Read the stuff that he wrote. And he tried to scrub his website so people wouldn't see what kind of person he really is, what his values really are. But anyway, so the Republican establishment losing its mind yet again over Donald Trump, and even Newt Gingrich and Chris Christie, two guys who were in the running to be vice president, but both lost out to Mike Pence. Mike Pence, what the hell is Mike Pence? Anyway, now they're giving Donald Trump some advice. Mind you, Newt Gingrich ran in 2012 and couldn't get, you know, he died in Florida in the primaries. Chris Christie couldn't even get to South Carolina. He died, but they're giving Donald Trump advice about how to run for president. Oh, please. Really, guys? Really? Anyway, so they're saying that we need to do an intervention here with Donald Trump. We need to sit down with him. Everybody is so concerned. Meanwhile, you look at all the polling, and it's amazing. It is a virtual tie, even though the Clintons are spending like umpteen gazillion dollars and the media just sucks up to them and covers up everything and loves them. Everybody hates Trump. It's still virtually a tie. But the establishment media is losing its mind. Oh, we've got to do something. And so now they're talking about an intervention with Donald Trump. And I'm going, what are you, nuts? This guy's doing exactly what he's been doing, and he's been very successful at it. He continues to be unorthodox, no question. But that's just like, that's what he does. And they're saying, well, he's off message. He needs to talk about jobs and needs to talk about security, which, yes, that's of course. But he's not off message, as I mentioned last night. His message, his strongest message, is strength. That's his strongest message. Because when you look at Barack Obama, this horrible human being that he is, I mean, you know, it's great that we finally have biracial president, the first biracial president in American history that we know of. There might have been an octoroon in there somewhere with Buchanan, but I'm not sure. Anyway, the only one from Pennsylvania, by the way. Anyway, so, Obama's like, ugh, you know, he dithers from behind. He's condescending beyond belief. And now we find out that they do this ham-fisted $400 million in cash in the middle of the night, unmarked airplane, as ransom to get back some of the hostages. And it's like, everything is rigged. They're all liars. Everything's horrible. So Donald Trump's big thing is that he's strong. And you might think, strong? Well, what kind of message is that? Well, these days, a lot of people are responding to it because we've had such weakness, such ineptitude, ineptitude with both administrations, with Obama and before that with Bush. But the weakness and the mealy mouth and the God, jeez. Anyway, so that's his thing. So he defends himself because he didn't start this fight with this Pakistani immigration lawyer and his wife with the scarf and the scowl and all that. And so, and the Republicans are like really upset. How dare you fight back? Well, I'm glad he fought back. I really am. Anytime somebody takes a shot at Trump, Trump is a really, really good counterpuncher. He'll give it right back to them. And the establishment is saying, well, he's off message. They've taken him off message. And, you know, he really should show more discipline and all that. They didn't take him off message. They don't understand what the message is. The message is that he's strong. He cannot stand incompetence. Neither can I, by the way. And this is part of who he is. See, he's exactly right on point. I mean, I'm yelling at the TV. It's like, don't you people understand what you're seeing here? Because I do here in flyover country. He's exactly on point. He's showing his strength. He's standing up for himself and by extension, America. We're not going to be kicked around anymore. No one's going to push us around. These friggin' Iranians with this. Oh, anyway. So we have that. We have some Republicans now, nominal Republicans, who are saying they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, including this Meg Whitman, I think is her name. She ran in California for, I think, governor, lost. She was the head of, what was it now, eBay or something, and now she's in charge of, I think, Hewlett-Packard or something like that. And she's saying, well, Donald Trump's values, you know, not real Republican values, I'll vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, look, I realize Donald Trump is not everybody's cup of tea, okay, especially conservatives and all that. I absolutely get that. And you don't want to vote for him, fine, I don't care. I'm voting libertarian, But you can't be saying that you care about, traditional Republican values or conservative values. Well, I'm not going to vote for Trump. I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's like crazy talk. That's insane. It's insane. Donald Trump does something. He has an effect on a lot of these people, especially the insiders, who I hate every one of them. And they just lose their minds. They daily lose their minds over something. He makes a joke about the Purple Heart. They lose their minds. He makes a joke about Russians hacking in, not even hacking, but maybe releasing the emails that Hillary Clinton, wiped and swiped or whatever with their server. He makes a joke. They lose their minds. He makes a joke about, baby crying and let's evict it from the facility. They lose their minds. He looks at them the wrong way. They lose their minds. Oh, look, he's eating a taco bowl. Oh, they lose their minds. They lose their minds every day with this stuff. And they're becoming even more and more absurd. And that includes Fox News, by the way. I had to watch, this morning, when the Fox Business Channel lost the Imus in the Morning show. That was a good show, good TV show. I really liked that show. Imus, as crazy as he is, and, his lungs are collapsing, and he's near death. I mean, he's a skeletal remains. But it was still a really good show. And I would watch that show, and it was really entertaining. He had some great comics on, and it was just a really good show, well-produced. It was a great show. I really miss it, because now everything in the morning, the news shows, all suck. They're all horrible. One's more horrible than the other, including Fox and Friends. I never liked Fox and Friends, especially the two guys. The babe in the middle, I don't know her name, but she's blonde. She's good, very firm. You can tell she's like a gymnast or something like that. Great legs, of course. They all have great legs. So the babe in the middle, whose name I don't know, but it doesn't matter because they're all interchangeable parts of, you know, Fox News with, you know, really hot blonde babes. But the two guys on either side, one, Peter, I think is his name, the blonde, is like a moron. And the other one, Kilmeade, is like, okay, one's like a blonde moron and the other is like a brown-haired moron. They're both morons. And they were going on, especially the brown-haired one, the shorter guy, about how Donald Trump this and Donald, he shouldn't be doing this. It's like, shut up. Just shut up. I can't watch any of this stuff. I can't. So I go back to the Fox Business Channel, and there's the Money Honey, who replaced Imus, she's awful. The only good thing about that one is that they have this Dagan McDowell, who is from the Deep South, I don't know, Alabama or something, I don't know. She's very smart. And what a mouth she has on her. She loves NASCAR. She doesn't put up with any crap. I love her. She is just great. Anyway, and smart, too. I mean, she knows her stuff, but she just doesn't give a rip. She's just like Dagan. Yeah, all right. Let's see here. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So I'm trying to watch this stuff. And they're all going on and on about how Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that. And they don't understand what's going on here in flyover country, which is that part of America just west of that imaginary line. In fact, like that 95, I-95, you know, New York, the Beltway, anything west of that, they fly over to go to California, to Los Angeles, you know, to have, you know, caviar and, you know, spritzers and whatever they do there in Southern California before the big film stuff and avocados and surfing and whatever else they do there. But here in flyover country, we absolutely understand Donald Trump. We absolutely, absolutely get him. And this whole strength thing and he's fighting back and all that, I think it's great. People, you know, if they take shots at him, he just gives it right back to them. I mean, and that really is sort of a metaphor for what he's saying that he's going to do as president. But you never know with any of these guys. You know, they'll say anything. George Bush, when he was governor of California, of Texas, ran as if he was a small government conservative and he didn't believe in nation building, all that crap that, you know, the conservatives, you know, talk about. And then of course, as soon as he gets in, he makes deals with Ted Kennedy and the government explodes and he goes to war and nation building and everything turns to crap. So you never know, but this is what Trump is selling and it makes perfect sense. And all these people on TV go on, he's off message. He needs to get on. And, you know, Newt Gingrich says, think about this. Newt Gingrich says Donald Trump has to have more discipline. Newt Gingrich, I actually like Newt Gingrich. He's a very, very smart guy, very articulate, tremendous communicator. But and the people on the cable news channels, they can't laugh at. In fact, I don't think they even get the joke. Because they're interviewing him and Newt Gingrich is saying, you know, essentially that Donald Trump has to have much more message discipline, a lot more discipline. Newt Gingrich discipline? I'm laughing. I'm going, do you folks not realize how funny this is? And I don't think they do. They take him seriously. I can't take him seriously. Newt Gingrich saying, oh, Donald Trump needs discipline. Please. Chris Christie is saying, well, you know, the Gold Star families, which again is this Pakistani immigration lawyer and his wife who are using the terrible tragedy, the death of their son, to attack Donald Trump. Chris Christie is saying, well, he should not have been, you know, he should not have fought back or said anything back to them. They have every right to say whatever they want. Well, yeah, but Donald Trump really should have responded because they used their dead son as a platform to attack Donald Trump. And that's just the beginning part of it. And I should have mentioned this last night, but I didn't because I forgot. But I'm not getting senile. I am not getting senile. I forgot. That's all I want. That's it. There's this great meme that, God, I should have brought it up last night. I should have included it in the slideshow for blogtalkradio.com. I did not do either because, well, I'm an idiot. But essentially it said this. And this is actually a very good point. Now, the Pakistani, or as the president calls it, Pakistani, immigration attorney and his wife, the one with the scarf and the scowl, Khan is his last name. The Khan, not C-O-N like a con man, because that would be wrong. K-H-A-N, like the Wrath of Khan, you know, Ricardo Montalban with Corinthian leather and the plane, and that, you know, Khan! The meme said in essence this, that this couple lost their son in Iraq. American soldier fought and died in Iraq in 2003 or 4, somewhere in there. He was killed by Muslims because, I mean, everyone over there is Muslim. They all kill each other. That's what they do, especially during Ramadan. Apparently, that's like a very big deal. This past Ramadan was like a very big deal. They killed like each other like all the time. You know, praise God, praise God. They do. But the irony of this whole thing was lost on the media. My God, I should have brought it up when I first started talking about Khan. Think about this. Just think about this. Donald Trump was not for the war in Iraq. In fact, everyone and their brother who hates Trump, and they all hate Trump, they all hate him, are trying to find some proof that somehow he really was for this war in Iraq. Well, he wasn't. The only thing they could find is some toss-away line when he was being interviewed by Howard Stern about something with Iraq. It's like, no big deal, BS, you know. But that's it. Just, there's nothing. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton, as United States Senator of New York, the defining moment of her pathetic career in the Senate, because she accomplished nothing. No, you don't take my word for it? Okay, fine. Name her biggest accomplishment in the Senate. Yeah, that's what I thought. But her defining moment in the Senate was the war in Iraq. You know, should we go to war in Iraq? And she said, oh, yeah. I mean, she's a bloodthirsty whore. I mean, she's just an awful human, but she's also bloodthirsty. She loves, you know, military and, you know, oh, let's overthrow, you know, Libya's Gaddafi, who's an a-hole, and then everything will be fine. And, of course, as bad as Gaddafi was, now it's like a million times worse. That's all Hillary Clinton, by the way. So she votes for the war in Iraq. The Khan's son goes to fight over there, dies. So here you've got, I mean, try to wrap your ears around this. You've got Donald Trump, which for all of his faults, he has never said, oh, yes, well, you should have gone into Iraq and we should have invaded. And he keeps saying, no, 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 no. Hillary Clinton voted, yes, 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 let's go there. Let's kill people. Yeah, Muslims, let's kill Muslims because that's what's over there in Iraq. A lot of Muslims. Some Christians, but not too many in there at the bottom of the food chain. But Hillary Clinton voted for the war in Iraq, the war that cost the life of the son of Mr. and Mrs. Khan. Donald Trump was opposed to the war in Iraq, still is. In fact, doubled down in the South Carolina Republican primary, savaged the Bushes for this thing, just savaged them. And so immigration attorney Khan and his wife, of course, are upset with, no, not Hillary Clinton, who authorized the war that led to the death of their son. No. They're upset with Donald Trump, the guy who was opposed and remains adamantly opposed, especially for a Republican to be saying that is unbelievable. It really is. They're upset with Donald Trump, who was opposed to the war in Iraq. Think about that. The Khans are supporting the candidate who voted for the war that cost the life of their son. And they're really upset with the guy who was opposed to us invading Iraq. It's just... Let me tell you about LifePedigree.com. We're in the LifePedigree.com studio here at the intersection of freedom and fun. Want to get to a couple other things here, not only the ransom, But some other stuff as well, plus the Clint Eastwood stuff, which is like unbelievable, and all ties in with this whole Donald Trump thing. But lifepedigree.com, if you have a business, and I don't care if you are one person, that you have an opening and you hire one employee, even if it's a part-timer, or a one or a hundred or 1 million or 1 gazillion or whatever it happens to be. Tim Cook, I'm actually talking about you too. You need lifepedigree.com because, look, let's face it, you're good at what you do with your job, with your business. You sell widgets. You do whatever. Good at reading resumes and trying to figure out who the liars are and where do you call to get all the information about arrest records and about their military service and about their credit scores and all this other stuff and their university, their degrees and this, that, and the other. Where are you going to find the numbers? What about the email addresses? How do you do this? How do you do that? And you're spending all your time doing this when you should be out there making money with your widget company. Send the resumes for any job opening. Send them to lifepedigree.com. Lifepedigree.com for a really, really small price. We'll do all that work for you. They've got lots of people who know how to dig. They've done all this stuff. They've got all the email addresses. They've got all the phone numbers. They have all the contacts. They can pick up a phone and go, hey, Joe Blow in this department of that agency, tell me about this guy. What do they do? All that stuff. Do it for a very low price. So they send the resumes back to you and says, okay, these are the good ones. We can confirm they're telling the truth. It's stamped with a lifepedigree.com seal of approval. Now you've got a good chance of hiring a good employee. So go to lifepedigree.com. Here's what I want you to do. Send an email to lifepedigree.com. Here's the address. sales@lifepedigree.com. Sales, S-A-L-E-S, at lifepedigree.com. In the subject line, put in Dimitri. That's with three I's. D-I-M-I-T-R-I, or Dimitri sent me, or something with Dimitri, because that way they'll know, first, you're not spam, and that it's coming from a very reliable source, because they actually checked out all my Facebook friends and followers on Twitter and listeners on Blog Talk Radio to make sure that they aren't spammy, they aren't like crazy people. And they realized, wow, this is quite a population here, because I really work at this. I don't like crazy, goofy, scary people. I want really solid. I don't care about the politics. I mean, you could be left-wing, right-wing, up, whatever. I don't care. But I care about having really, really solid people. And lifepedigree.com, of course, doing their homework, checked me out. And so they said, well, yeah, from your population, your audience, absolutely. No spam here. So sales at lifepedigree.com. Subject line, Dimitri, or Dimitri sent me, and that'll be great. Just send them the resumes. They'll take care of it. Very small price. They send them back to you. Now it's going to be relatively easy to hire the right person because you see who's telling you the truth on the resume. Lifepedigree.com, sales@lifepedigree.com, Dimitri. All right. So let's see here. We've done that. Remember when I told you that this whole thing, long before Donald Trump, I've been telling you, and some other libertarians certainly, and a few others out there as well, that everything, the system is essentially rigged. Now, we couldn't prove it, of course. We suspected it, but we couldn't prove it. But now with social media and all that, it's a lot easier to pull back the curtain. In fact, there's this great meme of Heath Ledger as the Joker, saying in essence that, it's not more corrupt now, it's just clearer now. A lot of truth to that, even though he's still dead. So anyway, so we've been telling you it's been rigged like for the longest time. And one of the worst, or the most corrupt, is the FBI. And that when the FBI, the spin coming out of the Beltway was, well, the FBI and James Comey, these are straight shooters. It's the FBI. They're, solid, good. They don't play. It's like, crap. What incredible horse crap that is. If you know anything about the FBI from its inception, with J. Edgar Hoover, one of the most corrupt politicians in the history of American politics, just the most, he would blackmail people. He would get the goods on them, information. And he was just horrible. They're headquartered in the J. Edgar Hoover building. What else do you need to know? And the FBI scandals are legendary, whether it's with Watergate or with their crime lab or with Whitey Bulger and on and on and on. Well, I predicted way before any kind of results came in regarding the IRS targeting of the Tea Party, that it was all rigged. The president said ahead of time, nothing's going to happen. The FBI investigated and, of course, found nothing. And then with this latest thing here with Loretta Lynch and with the server and email with Hillary Clinton, you know, the FBI, oh, yeah, James Comey himself is going to be interviewing Hillary Clinton. It was all crap. And I told you it was all crap. But even I didn't realize what kind of crap it was, this degree of crap, the degree of it being so rigged, so outrageous. I just discovered this, like, I think yesterday, a couple days ago. Judge Andrew Napolitano, who, by the way, would be a great libertarian presidential candidate. I could see a ticket of him and John Stossel as Libertarian Party candidates, like in the next election. How awesome would that be? Anyway, so what Judge Napolitano said is that there's this NSA whistleblower who you don't know about, but I do. That's not Edward Snowden. God bless Edward Snowden. I mean, I still think this guy should get President Barack Obama's Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, I think Edward Snowden is a friggin' hero. I mean, I don't think I would have had that kind of courage. In fact, I'm quite sure I wouldn't, because I'm pretty much of a wuss. But before Edward Snowden, NSA whistleblower, there was another one, a guy named Thomas Drake, who went through the system at the NSA saying, hey, the NSA, my agency, is violating all these laws. The NSA, of course, destroyed him, tried to destroy his life, career, everything. Finally, he sued. Last minute, the judge realizes the NSA lied, the government lied. Thomas Drake finally wins, but at a terrible price. Right now, he's working now at an Apple store in Maryland. Thomas Drake, one of the big, great heroes of the NSA whistleblowers. Well, before him was a guy named William Binney. There was another guy, Weeby, I think, as well. But Binney is the guy. And Binney came out and said, again, this is a guy who worked at the NSA. He's, you know, very high up there. The guy knows his stuff. He said, in essence, now I'm sure I'm going to get some of the technical stuff wrong, but essentially he said that either he designed or he was part of this NSA mass surveillance that gets all of our emails and all of our texts and all of everything, you know, the stuff that James Clapper lied about under oath and in the Senate hearings to Senator from Oregon, Weidman, that's thinking of John Weidman from Westinghouse High School. Wyden, I think. Okay, the senator from Oregon. Anyway, this NSA whistleblower, Binney, said very matter-of-factly, by the way, the NSA has all of Hillary Clinton's emails because they have everybody's emails. Just let that sink in for a bit. This is an NSA whistleblower. Very matter of fact, they think, of course they have it. We've got everything. Here's the worst part of this. If you thought the FBI was beneath contempt and was crooked beyond words and absolutely had no credibility whatsoever, Judge Napolitano said that the FBI, again, this is an open secret inside the Beltway. Everybody knows all this stuff inside the Beltway. They go to the same cocktail parties. They inbreed. They marry each other. And everybody knows all of the crap inside the Beltway. But Binney is just now coming out and saying, well, of course the NSA has all her emails. So Judge Napolitano said that the FBI could have gotten every one of Hillary Clinton's emails. You know how Comey said, well, we tried to get it together and we couldn't quite do it because Hillary Clinton's team was so smart they were able to outsmart the FBI and get rid of all these emails? Well, it turns out that was a lie too, because they're all there at the NSA. And the only thing that the FBI had to do, if it really wanted to get all of Hillary Clinton's emails, is they would have asked a judge to get some kind of court order to force the NSA to give them Hillary's emails. But the FBI didn't do that. What the FBI did, James Comey is saying, well, you know, we tried and we just couldn't quite get the ones. So I guess they're just kind of missing. And, you know, so, yeah, she did all sorts of terrible things, but we're not going to charge her. But if you try to do stuff like that, we're going to charge you. So we find out now that The FBI is more corrupt than even I thought it was. It was more, morally bankrupt than even I realized. The NSA has all of those emails of hers. Everybody knows it. The FBI didn't even ask to get all those emails. They're there. They're just sitting there, in Utah or wherever the big, NSA building is with everybody's everything. And by the way, do you feel safer now with mass surveillance with the NSA? Do you feel safer now? Because I sure as hell don't. So everything is rigged. Everything is rigged. The FBI. Next, look, if you're ever on jury duty, let me rephrase this, because I don't want to, they'll probably throw me in jail. Let me rephrase this. If I'm ever on jury duty, God help the prosecution if their main witness has anything to do with the FBI. God help them. Because if they think that, the FBI is saying this, here's their crime lab, and that's all the proof that we need. If I'm on that jury's going down. There's no way I'm going to convict based solely on that evidence. In fact, when I hear FBI, the first thing I think of is it's rigged. It's rigged. If I can get independent evidence convincing me that what the prosecution is saying is true, well then, okay, fine. Now I've got no problem with that. If I've got no problem with the law, I probably might even consider, I will be fair. But just the FBI, they are so corrupt. They're just the worst. And this was like a revelation even to me. My God, the NSA has all our emails, but the FBI wouldn't even ask for them. It's all rigged. It's all rigged. Speaking of which, again, the establishment, the Republican establishment and a lot of these experts in the cable news channels were going on and on about how Donald Trump is now saying that the election could be rigged in November and that, he's very concerned about that. And they're all going, tisk, tisk, what's he talking about? This sounds so paranoid and all that. Well, here in flyover country, that made perfect sense to me. What Trump was saying, he wasn't speaking to these idiots on cable news channels and the pundits and all these guys inside the Beltway who were actually amazed and appalled that Donald Trump would show such a lack of discipline that he would now start talking about how the election could be rigged. Here in flyover country, that actually plays pretty well. Not saying that the election is rigged, but saying that certainly a possibility. Because everything else is rigged inside the Beltway. Why wouldn't that be too? So when Donald Trump is going on about how the election could be rigged and how even the presidential debates, were structured in such a way, effectively rigged, even though they were set up before he became the nominee, that they were going up against NFL football. And the Democrats were, had done all of this with the Republicans, okay, because the Republicans are idiots. When Donald Trump is saying how even the election could be rigged and all that, inside the Beltway, they're thinking this man's lost his mind, he has no discipline. But I'm telling you, out here in flyover country, we're listening. We are absolutely listening, and we're nodding our heads. It's possible. We're not saying it is. Of course, how would we ever know? But oh yeah, it's possible. And the latest example of just how everything seems to be, how everything is rigged. The latest example is $400 million in the middle of the night, cash, unmarked plane on the tarmac. Thank God somebody had an iPhone or whatever and recorded it. A payoff, ransom to the Iranians. And then the spokesman for the State Department stands right in front of us and lies to our faces and says, oh, no, it was ransom. It was just different departments doing whatever. We can see how you might think it was, but it really wasn't. Everything is rigged. Anytime Donald Trump opens his mouth, and I don't care how often he says it, about this could be rigged and that could be rigged, got to look into this, got to look into that. I find myself actually nodding my head. Not that I'm saying that he's right, but I'm saying that he could be right, because that's the real issue here, how little faith we have left in our institutions, whether it's the government, Republicans or Democrats inside the Beltway, whether it's Wall Street, whether it's our universities, whether it's our businesses. The real issue here is that we have lost faith in our institutions. So anytime someone like Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or Gary Johnson is saying It's rigged. The system is fixed. We here in flyover country nod our heads going, you know, it might be. It could damn well be. It sure feels like it is. Donald Trump has not lost any discipline regarding his messaging. He understands his messaging. Strength, the system is rigged, and that plays pretty darn well in Peoria and everywhere else outside the Beltway in the West Coast. So, you know, you can keep listening. These guys on TV going, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's got to switch and he's got to do. Karl Rove was losing his mind today. I saw him being interviewed. Karl Rove, who has gotten everything wrong with the election since day one in this cycle, and he's still going on and on about, oh, Donald Trump should do this, Donald Trump should do that. I'm watching the screen. Of course, you can't. The Fox News people aren't going to say anything because, you know, Karl Rove is part of the whole, you know, Republican establishment and all that. But I'm looking at the screen going, it's like it's everything is surreal. It's like that guy has been wrong as often as Bill Kristol has been wrong with every friggin' prediction with the election from day one with Donald Trump. And you're still looking at him and listening to him pretending that he has any credibility left whatsoever. And he doesn't. It just. I don't know. I gotta control myself here. I'm starting to lose it. All right, now this is the part that is not safe for work. And I want to give you a heads up. If you're under age 18, you need to stop listening to this episode, which is simul-streamed on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live, because I am forced because of Clint Eastwood, who, by the way, 86 years old, and yet life has yet to 86 him. He's still going strong. You see him, that whole 86 thing, you know, 86 years old, 86ing. Hashtag wordsmith. Thank you. So he does this interview with Esquire magazine, and he uses a lot of really gutter language. He goes full potty mouth is what he does regarding Donald Trump and the bigger picture. But I think he has really hit a lot of key points. So again, if you're under 18 or if you're offended by, you know, the P word and the F word and some of this other stuff, I can understand why you'd want to tune out. I absolutely get that. But Clint Eastwood said it, so I'm going to have to read it, and I highlighted it all right here for you. And so, but I'm giving you a fair warning. So if you want to tune out, this is the time to do it. In fact, I'll give you a couple of minutes. Let me just see who else has joined us here on Facebook Live. And let me just go right back to the beginning. Eric and Brian and Rich and Keith and Janine and Brandon and Mike and Audrey and Eric and Nicholas and Kimberly and Brian and Susan and David again. Oh, my wife. Kimberly, Charles and George, Laura, Robert, Justin, Charles, Keith, Carol, Nancy. Oh, my God. Kirk, Kimberly, Robert. My God, look at all these people. This is amazing. Anyway, thank you all. All right. Give me plenty of notice here. I'm going to read you the direct quotes, Esquire magazine. This came out today. You can go online and read it. Clint Eastwood as with his son, and they talk about all sorts of things. Clint Eastwood, man, this guy is just, let me just read this to you. So Esquire magazine is going on. You're talking to Clint Eastwood, who's 86 years old, but not 86 yet in your characters have become touchstones in the culture, whether it's Reagan's invoking make my day or now Trump. I swear he's even practiced your scowl. Now, this is Clint Eastwood's response to that question. Maybe, but Trump now, but he's on to something because secretly everybody's getting tired of political correctness, kissing up. That's the kiss-ass generation we're in right now. We're really in a pussy generation. Everybody's walking on eggshells. We see people accusing people of being racist and all kinds of stuff. When I grew up, those things weren't called racist. And then when I did Grand Torino, even my associates said, quote, This is a really good script, but it's politically incorrect. And I said, good, let me read it tonight. The next morning, I came in and I threw it on his desk and I said, we're starting this immediately. You know, Gran Torino, get off my lawn. It's just, you know. So Esquire responds, what is the, quote, pussy generation? Clint Eastwood says, all these people that say, oh, you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you can't say that. I guess it's just the times. Esquire, what do you think Trump is onto? Clint Eastwood, what Trump is onto is he's just saying what's on his mind, and sometimes it's not so good, and sometimes it's, I mean, I can understand where he's coming from, but I don't always agree with him. They ask Clint Eastwood, do you still describe yourself as a libertarian? He says, I don't know. Esquire says, politically, you're the anti-pussy party? His son answers, that's right, no candy asses. Clint Eastwood answers, yeah, I'm the anti-pussy generation, not to be confused with pussy. And then his son says, all of us are pro-pussy, which is really just so sick, God almighty. So I apologize for this, but this is what he's saying. And the bigger truth here, the greater truth, is that I think he's absolutely right. And this is one of the really strong points of Donald Trump, his strength, that he just, it's just like everyone is saying, like, enough, this crap's got to stop. You know, everything is rigged. They're always lying to us. Every day it's like a new lie. You know, the FBI didn't even the FBI didn't even ask the NSA to get, you know, give them the emails, you know. And then, you know, we find out that in the middle of the night, this unmarked airplane, $400 million in cash with shrink wrapped, and it's given to the Iranians. And then the secretary or the State Department spokesman lies. Everything is rigged. And when Donald Trump says, well, the election could be rigged and all that, we're listening. We're actually listening to this stuff because we've had it up to here with everything. One last thing with this interview with Clint Eastwood, which I just thought was kind of funny. It had nothing to do with this, at least not directly with the P word, but indirectly it does. But I just thought it was kind of funny. Just a little brief thing. Clint Eastwood, as with most, you know, actors, have had, you know, marriages and divorces and all. It's Hollywood. It's a Hollywood thing. So Esquire magazine is asking him, collecting wives is an expensive hobby. Clint Eastwood replies, yeah, cut out the middleman. Just find somebody you hate and buy him a house. And his son says, I got to write that down. Collecting wives is an expensive hobby. Yeah, cut out the middleman. Just find somebody you hate and buy him a house. That is so cruel. I just got a kick out of that. I'm sorry. I just did. All right. Well, let's see here. I think I've done enough for one. You know, done enough damage for one evening here. Newt Gingrich being concerned about Donald Trump not showing discipline. That's just amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. Every one of these people on TV is an idiot. I swear to God, they're all idiots. None of them get what Trump is saying to us. And I get it perfectly. I absolutely get it perfectly. It's just, oh, speaking of Trump, Pat Manley, who put together this, first designed Donald Trump's wall, put together this big presentation, which I opened live on Facebook Live on my simul stream here with blogtalkradio.com, weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We sent Donald Trump the presentation, and Pat Manley did a great job with it. In fact, in the front of it, and I don't think I mentioned this, on the front of the big package, I don't even know what it's called, proposal, I guess. I mean, it's done beautifully, absolutely beautifully. On the front of it, was, again, this going right to Donald Trump and saying, okay, we designed your wall. Here it is. You know, it's magnificent, which it is. And I showed you all the pictures and everything. Exclusive here to One Dimitri Radio. No one in the media is touching this because they all hate Donald Trump. They all hate the idea of the wall. Me, I know it's an incredible news story. And here we've got the architect, major architect from the Midwest, headquartered in Columbus, his company headquartered in Columbus, that actually did it and sent it off to Donald Trump. And on the front of this thing, Pat Manley's, I'd like to say this was my idea or even a suggestion or whatever, but it wasn't. It all came from Pat Manley or maybe his wife, probably his wife, Linda, because she's pretty smart too. But okay, probably Pat. On the front of this thing was a quote. Stay right there. It'll just take a few seconds unless I trip over some of the lighting, in which case it'll just all become hideous. Stay right there. This will be worth it. Just like 5 seconds. 10 seconds. Give me 10 to 15 seconds. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Okay. I'm coming back. I'm ready. There. That wasn't so long. All right. I actually missed this thing in the front. I'm going to show this to you. And I know it's bass backwards because this whole weird thing that I have with the iPad that I'm using as the camera. But you see this thing here, this quote? I'll read you this quote, and then I'll tell you who did. And this I thought was brilliant. Again, this is the Trump wall. This is the proposal, which I showed you a couple nights ago when I opened it live on the show here, One Dimitri Radio. But it didn't dawn on me. It didn't register till like afterward. I went, ah, God, this is like brilliant. This is Pat Manley's thing, or his wife, Linda. The front of this thing, Trump wall, this incredible proposal, and it's honest to God, it is beautiful. If Trump doesn't like this, then our republic is lost. That's all there's to it. Pat Manley has a quote. Well, he puts a quote on here. It's a great quote. What's even better is the source of the quote. The quote is, and again, remember the big picture. This has been delivered to the Trump Organization, to Donald J. Trump, saying, hey, Pat Manley designed your wall. Here it is. Let's get moving with this thing. So we're still waiting for a word back. I'm surprised it's taken this long. The only good news that I can tell you is, even though we have not heard back, what that means is that so far, Donald Trump did not say no. So we're holding on to that. So far, he hasn't said no, so there's hope. I do think this is a fantastic design. But anyway, so here's the quote. The quote is, get in, get it done right, and get out. Isn't that a great quote? And perfect for Donald Trump. And you would think, at least I would think, that, okay, that must have been a Donald Trump quote, because it's on the front of the Pat Manley proposal about Trump's wall, and brilliant. No, even better than that. That's not Donald Trump's quote. That quote is from, in fact, I'll read it to you again, and then I'll tell you. Get in, get it done right, and get out. Fred Trump. Not Donald Trump, Fred Trump. Very smart, his dad. All right, so I think that is it for us. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do now. We've got this great interview with the head of a major medical lab in Atlanta, which is like right near the Centers for Disease Control. And it's all about the Zika virus, this mosquito. And, you know, the media, of course, is scaring the bejeebers out of us because, you know, Zika virus, you know, you get a mosquito bite, and next thing you know, your head the size of a golf ball, and, you know, then you go become a freak in the sideshow of a circus or something like that. The man with the golf ball head or something like that. I mean, mosquitoes are bad. Well, this guy is actually the head of this big deal lab, and we actually talked about that. Well, he talked, I pretty much listened, all about this mosquito, this big controversy, the scary thing, and the Zika virus. And what he had to say was, I thought, fascinating. So I've got this interview for you. So I'm going to play the interview on blogtalkradio.com, our simul stream here. But I'm going to pot it down here in the studio. So I'm just going to play live and streaming on blogtalkradio.com, One Dimitri Radio. But I'll turn off the mic so I don't talk over that. So you and I can keep interacting on Facebook Live, including at the end, if anybody is left, we'll do our emoji fireworks grand finale thing. And I think it was Jennifer, said that there are only 6 emojis that are available on Facebook to do this, which kind of sucks. Only 6. I'm thinking, I mean, like my iPhone, I've got 10 gazillion, and Facebook has only 6, really? Anyway, so this is still a work in progress. But anyway, let's start with this interview. His name is Mike Dougherty, and he is also the author of a book about the devil inside the Beltway. His credentials are terrific. This guy really understands science and especially, you know, blood work and urine and specimens and this, that, and the other. And he was like the perfect guy to get because you don't see this on TV. You see a lot of scaremongers on TV about, oh, the Zika virus, this, and mosquitoes, that. And as you probably suspected, a lot of it, so much of it in the media is just hype crap. Hype crap is what it is, you know, or clickbait. I call it hype crap because that's just the first thing that came into my head 12 seconds ago. But this guy's great. And so let me play you this interview. It's about 20 minutes long. In the meantime, we'll interact. And by the way, this is a good time for my Facebook friends. If you have any questions or comments or whatever, I will interact with you now because that's going to be this part of the show. So I'm a multimedia platform is what I am. I mean, yes, I'm on Facebook. Yes, I'm on Twitter and this, that, and the other, and blogtalkradio.com. So we've got 2 things going tonight. On the Blog Talk Radio side, we've got this great interview. Facebook Live, you're stuck with pretty much me. But it is still all multimedia because that's just how I roll. All right. Let's see. Mike Dougherty. Here we go.